Bible to John, the 14th chapter. We're going to read just one verse out of John 14, 18. It says this, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You may be seated. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It's a promise. And we know he's talking about the Holy Spirit as he comes and indwells us. And that is our comfort. And because that promise was made, Satan sees that and he says, yeah, but I will give you a greater comfort than he can give you. Because I will give you comforts that you don't have to die to yourself. I will give you comforts that you can enjoy this life. I can give you comforts that old Holy Spirit and all, it's okay and all, but I can make you give you pleasure and I can give you fun and I can give it right now. And we are in an age that is teaching us that if you don't get it right now, it's late. That's what everything we do tells us. We have instant everything. Everything is fast, fast, fast. And we're geared to that. And as we grow up, and we're geared to that. And we have to have this satisfaction right now. We need instant gratification. And you know what that's all coming from? Because the whole world knows that they got a very short time before it's all over. And they said, I better enjoy it now, because if I don't, I ain't getting it. And they might not recognize it in their voice, but in their subconscious, that's what's telling them, is that you better start living it up now and have fun now, because it might not last very much longer. I hear this from friends at work. They're Christians, and I've heard it online and different things, and people saying this, you know, the Lord's coming, but it probably won't be in our generation, so we don't have to worry about it. And the way they're saying it is they don't want to be in their generation, because they want to enjoy this life, because something's telling them there's a problem up ahead and they don't really want to have to go through it. And so if they just enjoy life now and live for the moment, and you know that all this stuff going on. And the thing is, it's different from what God says, because God said, I promise this, but now what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you walk in faith until that promise is fulfilled, but it's not going to be instant gratification. And so while we are walking in faith until that promise is fulfilled, Satan comes with all these other comforts to get us distracted here and distracted there and distracted there, and they become idols in our lives. And we're all influenced by these things. It's that soft living, the pressure of soft living in this age, because we can have things easy, especially religion. Especially our religion, it can come so easy. You want to know, this just come to me a little while ago. You know, a way to tell if something is an idol in your life? Anything that's an idol is anything that gets between you and Christ, right? Interferes with that. Well, anything that affects you so that it blocks the light of Christ shining through you is an idol. Think about it. I'm at work. And I'm trying to live a Christian life. I want to be an example. I want to see people see Christ in me. And then my boss jumps on my case and chews me out, right? And I respond by like, what's wrong, man? You know, I lose my top and I get mad and I show that, you know, I just reproach to Christ. What I'm showing is that whatever that is more important to me than Christ in that moment. When I react wrong, I'm showing I need my comfort by some other way. My comfort is because I'm not going to take that from her. I'm going to respond back. I'm going to do something, and it's going to totally bring a reproach on my testimony, but I think it's worthwhile. That's an idol, folks. Because when you get to the point where that no longer affects you, and even though your boss chews you out, and your response is, well, you know, she's just having a bad day, and people look at you and say, wow, Phil. How'd you do that? How'd you just stay calm? How'd you not get upset? How do you not cuss her out or whatever? And they're going to see something. That's what we want to see. They need to see something different about us. And what has happened is that's no longer an idol, because I've died to that thing. But when we get upset and we get tore up and we lose our victory over something that's going on, brother and sister, those things are still idols in our lives, because they're still more important than my relationship with Christ. Boy, that hurts. Why? You ever sit down to do something, you think, I want to do something, and a little nudge comes to say, now, is that really what Christ wants you to do right now? Well, I want to do it. Yeah, but is that what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do right now? Well, there's nothing wrong with it. Then ask if there's anything wrong with it. Is that the way he's leading you to do it right now? And sometimes, I just have to be honest, I just kind of push that aside because I just want to do it anyways. What a moron. That's just stupid. God is sitting there saying, hey, Phil, I got something for you. I said, I got something better. Isn't that amazing? Especially when it comes to religion. You want to talk about religion a little bit? Turn to Song of Solomon. We're going to read out of here a couple places. Look about someone seeking comfort. Song of Solomon, let's start in chapter 3. And there's the type of the bride. In verse 1, it says this, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. Isn't that amazing? Here she is, she's in bed, she's resting, but something stirred inside her, and she said, oh, I want a closer relationship. I want to know him more. I'm so longing. There's a thirst, there's a pull. And I sought him, and I looked for him, but it says, I sought him, but I found him not. Oh, my. How many times have you laid in your bed and there's such a desire, there's such a longing, there's such a loneliness, and you know you're seeking Christ and you pray and you're seeking, but you can't find him. You can't find him. And you know there's more Christ for you. There's more a reality than what you have right now, because he promised, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And you know that is there for you. But there's just some an emptiness there, and you're seeking him, but you can't find him. And what did she say? I will rise now. She said, I'm not going to sit here in this message pew. I'm not going to just sit here and just be a message believer. I'm not going to sit here and just and rest in this soft Laodicean age. But I'm going to get up and I'm going to seek him, because there's something pulling me. She said, I'll rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Why? Because she's looking in the wrong place. She's going in the broadway. She's looking where all the rest of the believers were. She was looking, have you seen him? I'm looking for this one that my soul loveth. And you know what? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. She was looking all ways. She said, I'm going to church. I'm with these message believers, and everyone's just fine, and everyone's happy, but there's something inside me that's just not satisfied. And then listen to this. This is the key. Oh, I get excited. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom I so loveth? Who are these watchmen, brother and sister? It's the ministry whose job is to get them to that one who your soul loveth. It's the ones who to lead you to Christ. How many times do you come up and your pastor stand here and pray for you? You know what you're saying when you come up here? You're saying, I'm seeking the one whom my soul loveth. Even before you're born again, your soul still loved him, because there was a seed gene of God down there that was calling out. That's the thing that's driving you, by the way. It's not some emotional something up here. It's right down here. That's where that reality is. That's where that thirst comes from. That's where that desire is that you can't satisfy. And how many of us have gone out and tried to satisfy that with something out there when you found out it was total disappointment? Couldn't do it. It says this, the watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw you whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found whom my soul loveth. What happened? They led him to Christ. They got her to the one who her soul loved. They got her to the word for her day. Now listen carefully. She passed from them. What is that speaking about? It's this, because the ministry is here to get you to Christ, but you go to Christ on your own. You don't go with your pastor or your mom or your dad or your husband or your wife. It's just you and Christ. And you got to lay all the other comforts aside and be willing to stand there in death to yourself and say, it's just you and me. And that's a hard place to get to. The average message preacher will not preach you that way. They'll tell you that. They'll get you there. But they will not say you got to find it by yourself.
And they'll preach some kind of a sensation or something. If you just believe this, or you have this sensation, or you have this baptism, you're going to be just fine. And that's a lie. You find Christ by yourself. Your ministry is there to get you in the right direction, to give you the word to believe. Because the way you get there is you take the word that Christ speaks to you and you believe that, and it comes through the ministry, and that gets you to Christ. My. But Brother Jerry preached, how are you going to hear without a preacher? How are you going to believe without a preacher? You can't get there, folks. No wonder Satan's got everyone listening to tapes instead of the fivefold ministry, because he's got them headed to hell. But a little that I passed from them, from the ministry, the preachers, I found him whom my soul loveth. That's how you get there, brother and sister. I held him, would not let him go, till I brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, you stir up, nor awake my love till he please. Don't you interfere. You stay away from me and my love. Don't you come in here with your religion. Don't come in here with your doctrine. Don't come in here with your holiness. It's just me and him. Stay away from this relationship. Go to chapter 5. Let's see what happened to this maiden. Chapter 5, verse 2. Same lady speaking. She says, I sleep. Where? She's back in bed. Isn't that amazing? She's resting again. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. So here she is, she's sleeping, she's resting, but her heart wakes, and it's the voice of my beloved. He says, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of night. He's saying, I'm looking for comfort. I want you to comfort me. We want him to comfort us. And he said, I will not leave you comfortless, and I will come to you. But brother and sister, he gets his comfort from us, and he's coming to you. He said, I want a comfort from you, and you're sleeping. You're resting. And what does she respond? She knows his voice. She heard his voice calling. She's saying, I want more from you. I want more, a closer walk with you. I want a greater revelation. I want to get a greater relationship with you. I want to marry you. And you're just sitting there in your message pew, and you're thinking you're fine, and you're resting, and you're just waiting for the rapture. But something speaks, and something ignites in your heart, and it says, but there's got to be something more, because he's drawing me. But what does she say? I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? What is she saying? I'm a message believer. I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm born again. Why should I get up? Why can't I just sit here and wait for the rapture? Why should I get up and go through more battles and more trials? Why should I go through this seeking him more? Because I already found him. I know him, and I'm relaxed, and I'm satisfied. Oh, boy. I'm satisfied. Where does that come from? Laodicean spirit. Friends, we are not part of that Laodicean church that's sitting there thinking that we're increased with goods, we haven't even nothing, don't know we're blind. We are not that group. Our eyes have been opened. We have gone beyond that. But brother and sister, we are still, that spirit is here trying to influence us. It's trying to get us to relax. Remember that Ephesians church age? Aimed at and relaxed. And here we are, and we're pressing the battle, and yet Satan is trying to get it. Just relax. Just relax. Rest. There is a rest. Don't get me wrong. There is a rest. Well, you enter that rest when you're born again, and that rest is you know that your soul is saved, and you are going to let Christ do the work instead of yourself. That's the rest. But if you get that Laodicean relaxation, you got a problem. And that spirit is trying to get us to relax. Well, I'm a Christian. I am too. I'm born again. So why don't you just take it easy? You don't have to always be so on fire for Christ. Just find some other comfort for a while. My beloved put his hand in by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. He put his hand in there, and she saw that nail-scarred hand. And he said, remember what I've done for you? Remember Calvary? Remember how I changed your life? Look what I've done for you. Look how much I love you. Look what I brought you out of. Look what you were and look what you are now. My bowels moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved. He said, oh, yes, okay. Yes, forgive me. My hands dripped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Oh, she was so in love. Oh, we're going to have church. We're going to go to church, and we're just going to praise God, and we're going to have a wonderful time, and the message is going to come across the pulpit, and we're going to have a wonderful time like we did Sunday. But this is what this one has to go through. She said, I opened to my beloved. I prayed, and my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. Oh. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. What was wrong? She had got to a place of complacency where she just wanted to rest, and she didn't want to get up. She didn't want to seek him. She didn't want to spend her time in prayer. She didn't want to believe the word that she had to keep going. She said, I'm ready. I'm ready for the rapture. Let me just relax. Why do you have to keep coming with these messages that keep me stirred up? Why do you have to keep preaching this way? Why do you have to keep me so I can't get a straight thought? Why do you have to put me through these trials? Can't we just relax? He had gone. He was withdrawn himself. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but it gave me no answer. How many times have you prayed? And there's something in your heart, and it's drawn you, and you pray, and you pray, and there's nothing around. There's no God, there's no anointing, there's no spirit, there's nothing, and yet there's something inside drawing you. And here's the battle, because Satan is offering you, do this instead, and do that instead, and do that instead. And God's saying, are you going to walk in faith? You know I promised to be with you. You know I said I would not leave you. I would not leave you comfortless. Now what kind of comfort are you going to seek? I think I'll just go watch a movie. I think I'll just read a book. I think I'll just go for a run. I think I'll just call someone on the phone. I think I'll just do anything instead of walking this lonely road. It's like, where are you at? Why do you leave me alone? You call to me. You draw me to you. But then you stand there and you just leave me alone? What kind of a God do you serve? Then what happens? The watchmen that went about the city found me. Oh, the preachers got involved again. The watchmen found me. And you know what they did this time? They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. Here you are, and you're going through this hard time, and your life seems to be falling apart, and you can't find comfort from Christ, and then you go to church, and the minister gets up and just rips you apart. This message ain't for very many people, folks, because not very many people are going to put up with this. You say, what's this about? What are you talking about? How many times have you sat there and had the ministry just tear you apart and just put the thumb down on you or do something? You walk out of here thinking, man, I don't like what was preached. Oh, my goodness, why do I have to listen to that? Oh, my goodness, why don't we just get along? What are the watchmen doing? They're getting rid of her religion. They took her veil away. Look how good I look with this veil on. You notice it said, I have cleaned my feet. I have taken off my robe. This is my veil. It was her own works. Her religion was getting in the way. They smote her. They bruised her. They took away her religion. They wounded me. And here I am just trying to serve God, just trying to be a Christian, and I can't find that comfort. And there's old Slicker offering everything you can imagine, every kind of comfort you could want. Say, why don't you just get mad? Why don't you just cop an attitude? Why don't you just pout for a while? You have a right. Why don't you just quit talking to that brother or quit talking to that sister? Why don't you just get over here and just form your own little religion? Why don't you just kind of keep Brother Jerry at arm's length because you're just really disappointed in whatever is going on? Why don't you just take things in your own hand? You know what he's doing? He's stripping it away. That's all religion, folks. All those things I said is religion. It's your comforts. It's where we go when things aren't going the way we want them to go. He said, I'm going to let you walk that lonely road and seek me until you come to a place where you have to have me so bad that you're willing to lay all that down and say, whatever it takes, God. If you're not praying whatever it takes, you will pray whatever it takes. And when you think about when you pray whatever it takes, think about what you're really saying. Because if you mean it, he'll take you at your word. He said, are you sure? Are you sure that you mean whatever it takes? Because if it is, I'm going to strip it down. It terrifies me when I had to pray that. I said, God, how much more do you want? He said, all of it. Quit your whining. They took my veil from me. Then listen to what she says. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. Heartsick. Such a longing. And I know you will know what I'm talking about, folks. I know you know what I'm talking about. Because you would not be sitting here if you didn't. You know what it's like to have that desire, to have that longing, to be seeking something that you can't seem to satisfy. You're seeking something that it just causes you to be lonely or miserable, whatever. And the only thing that ever touches that place is Christ himself. And he touches it and you go through a time and it's so wonderful, but then he withdraws himself. He says, okay, son, daughter, we got another desert for you to walk through. And I'm going to disappear for a while. And you're going to feel totally alone. And you're going to feel like your friends have forsaken you. And you're going to feel like you can't get any peace of mind. And you're going to feel like this is just the worst thing they're going through. And it's going to scare you. And you're going to think, oh my goodness, I can't do this again. I can't do this again. But you will. Because I'm stripping you down. I'm getting rid of all this other stuff until it's just you and me. Because this is the age when he marries his bride. And it's never happened before. Marrying us. He ain't taking anybody into that wedding, to that marriage bed except you. You don't come with anybody else, any other spirit, nothing else. It's just you and Christ. You have a thirst. You have a thirst that only Christ can satisfy. And you know that's true. And I know that's true. How many times does my faith get weak? And how many times do I try to find some other way to satisfy that? Even though I know, and how many times I've done it, and I know it's still wrong, and yet still I go there sometimes. Because it just don't come in the time they don't want it to. So he keeps stripping me down. We are in the age, Brother Bram said, we're in the eighth day. Raptured into the eighth day. We're not that Laodicean age about keeping laws and rules and all that. We have stepped forward into the next age. We have come out of Laodicea spiritually speaking. And I don't have this quote. I wish I had it. I'm going to try and quote it. Brother Branham is talking about the difference between the priest down at the temple and the woman at the well. And he said, when that light flashed across the priest, he didn't recognize it for what it was because he had no representation. The woman at the well, she had representation. So even though the priest was living a holy life, The light flashed across. There's no representation. He went off into darkness. The woman who was living in a dark life, a sinful life, when the light came to her, she saw it, she recognized it, and she stepped into light. Right? Now, this is what he said, the priest. He said, the reason he didn't see it, the reason he had representation, because he was going on his faith was based on what had happened. And the woman at the well, her faith was based on what was happening. And that's why you see so many people, they teach about the prophet and they teach about the message and they teach everything they said and they got all the doctrines, but all they can do is see what had happened. And when the light is happening, they don't recognize it because they've been taught different and that teaching has blinded their eyes. If you long as recognize what the prophet did, recognize what the prophet did, and your faith is based on what the prophet did, but it doesn't show the light for today. Brother and sister, if we can see what is happening right now, you can walk in the light and you're going to find that Christ that satisfies you and he will not leave you comfortless. He will come. And brother and sister, no matter what we go through here, and you know this for, I don't have to tell you, I'm going to tell you anyways. No matter what trials you go through here, how hard it is, just wait till you get a body change. 1 second after you get a body change, you will have no regrets, I promise you. You will not think, well, I don't know if this is worth it or not. There will be nothing like that. It will be, I'll do it a million times again to get to this point. It's true. There's nothing to compare. Walk the lonely walk, brother and sister. That's all I got to say. When it gets lonely, keep walking. Brother Branham said, your perfect satisfaction, your perfect comfort comes in Christ, nothing else. Now, look, let me just say this. I'm not talking about you don't enjoy things. You don't enjoy a good meal or fellowship with brothers or going for a walk or a nice car. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about anything that gets between you and Christ. Because God gives you all these things to enjoy. Enjoy it. Don't sit there like a monk in a cell and say, well, I'm just going to sit here and not do anything enjoyable because I might be enjoying the things of the world. You're just a Catholic. You don't enjoy the life that God gave you. Keep everything in perspective. You know, we're so close to the end. You know that's true. Just look around. And we're just longing for the rapture. We're longing for a body change, longing for that time. But he is too. He's also looking for that time. He's hastening it. He like, let's get this done. You remember that story when the guy from Chicago went out west to find a wife and he told her, I'm going to marry you. He went back, you know, come back in a year and she got ready and she got her wedding garment on and she's standing there ready. Notice the story, how Brother Branham told it that day. She's standing there waiting and all of a sudden she hears the buckboard coming. He didn't say he came up walking at a leisurely pace. That guy wanted to see her as bad as she wanted to see him. He came running. He said he come up, the horses were galloping and a cloud of dust coming and he was slid to a stop and jumped down and grabbed her. He was ready to take her home. That's how he looks at it. He said, folks, my bride, get ready. Let me change you. Don't fight back. Just let me change you. I can't wait to get you. I can't wait to rapture you. I can't wait to get you out of here. He's been waiting a lot longer than we have. He's in a hurry. But he's not going to take us before we're ready. Amen? Let him lead you, brother and sister. How do we get there? Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Brother and sister, Brother Branham said over and over, he said, if God doesn't give you the Holy Ghost, he said he's obligated to give you the Holy Ghost if you repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then how come so few people get it? They don't repent. Because repenting is turning from. And I'm going to quit here. Here's what people do. They repent. And they try to stop doing the things of the world, but they keep their religion. And that's why God can't give them the Holy Ghost, because he's not going to give you religion over the Holy Ghost over your own religion. There's the place we need to repent. That's why so few people are born again, because we keep approaching God with our own religion. He said, I need to strip that down. But we don't want to be stripped because it hurts. It's our pride. I remember I was standing right there several years ago. God spoke to me. He said, all the religion you've had the last 15 years, however long it was, he says, I don't accept any of it. And I had two little voices. I've told you this story before. A little voice over here is saying, well, then forget it. If that's the way he's going to treat you, just forget it. And the little voice over here said, okay, well, then what does it take? What do you want? If you haven't accepted anything I've given you, what do you want? I had to decide which voice to listen to. And I, because there was a representation here, I listened to this voice over here. And he spoke, he said, he pointed to that pew. He said, sit in that pew and don't do anything except listen for my voice. And when you hear my voice speak through the ministry, you believe that. And don't lift a finger to try and help yourself. Talk about stripping down. I had spent years praying, studying, going to every church service I could, trying so hard to live good enough. He said, it's all been in vain, Cain. He didn't call me Cain, but it was Cain worship. It was the best I could do. So I sat there. You know what happened? Nothing. I sat there for about 6 weeks, and he never said another thing. He was saying, are you going to try again? Are you going to get up and try? Are you going to jump back on that hamster, devil's hamster wheel, and struggle and struggle and try again? I said, no, sir, you told me not to. And after about 6 weeks, he started speaking again. You get to a point where you say, oh my goodness, I'm really pressing on. I'm getting there. And he changed me. He brought me to a place where I was born again. He brought me a place where I see so much light. And then all of a sudden, he just like fades away again. And it's like, where'd you go? And I lay in bed at night, and my heart wakes. And I say, I seek in the one whom I so love with. And I seek him. I can't find him. And I go to church, and I can't find him. And I pray, and I can't find him. I listen to the tapes, and I can't find him. I said, what's going on? Where are you at? He said, you've been through this before. Calm down. I'm just stripping you down some more. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You ever been there? I hope so. One day soon, brother and sister, it'll be all over. But he has something for us to do. He's got to have a time when there's going to be a short, powerful work. There's going to be a time when he's going to flash across that this is my bride. He's going to show the world just very quickly. There's going to be a squeeze. And during that squeeze is when the third pull is going to come into full manifestation. All these things, brother and sister, I believe are just right at the door. But he has to have a bride that's ready for that. If we get to that point, we're not ready. We're not going to be there. We have to be ready when it's time for that to happen. That's what he's doing to us. Don't resist. Just walk that road until he gives you that comfort he promised. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand.